Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. Sheehan is back tomorrow. You will also hear from Adam Peters and Dan Quinn tomorrow. I'd mistakenly said Josh Harris. It is not Josh Harris. It'll be Adam Peters and Dan Quinn tomorrow. We will carry that press conference here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. It's been a very busy day. Ben Standing joins us now at noon, as he does each and every Monday and Friday. You can find his podcast, the Last Man Standing podcast, wherever it is that you get your podcast, and follow him on Twitter at Ben Standig. All right, Ben, what do you want to talk about? Training camp battles? Is that what's the top on everyone's mind today?
Look, I'm a 53 player projection kind of a guy, so I'll stay with wondering if Sheldon Day and Jalen Holmes can make this roster, but I suspect there may be other topics to get into.
Yeah, there might be at least one or two other big ones. We'll start with the one that is a little bit more of a nuisance than it is football-related. Your thoughts on Donald Trump seemingly suggesting that he would block the hope of the stadium coming back to D.C. unless the team changes its name back?
Yeah, look, I mean, I've mentioned this before on my podcast that, like, until this gets done, you always have to worry that, you know, that the president could weigh in. I wouldn't necessarily say this about other presidents, but this one is, you know, willing to interject himself into a myriad of topics that you wouldn't think would be the case. And look, this one is, you know, literally down the street. He was asked, you know, he's been asked about the team name several times. He actually gave a pretty benign answer, I thought, like a week or so ago when he was asked about it. And he was like, I might have kept it, but, you know, I get it. And, you know, if I can help, let me know. And, you know, there's obviously always stuff going on in the news. There's a lot of talk this week about some things involving the president. So is this him venting? Is this him really caring about this? I don't know. He didn't say he would. He said he might. But it's the president. He has, you know, he can cause problems. He can scuttle this whole thing with an executive order or, you know, lean on others. So it's something to consider. Now, that said, just based on my own kind of thinking and some, you know, talking to some people and just getting quick sense, I don't really think this is that big of a deal. I think it all, you know, it's still, I think, just a matter of, you know, the D.C. City Council passing a budget here at some point and moving on. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is when the president speaks, you have to listen.
Yes, it definitely adds another layer to this whole conversation that I did not think was previously existing. Do you think that he actually is going to follow through with any of this stuff?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's, again, you would think that there's bigger topics on his plate than this, but look, again, I don't want to get like overly political, but, like, you know, you can use this topic as something that appeals to your base or to rile up the other side or whatever. And, you know, if that's what he's doing, so be it. Unfortunately, we're the ones, you know, who have to somewhat deal with it. I mean, more so, of course, you know, potentially the team and the city. But, you know, I don't know. Like I said, it just doesn't seem like it's that. It's important. Look, the team name, I'm not dismissing that it's not important to many people. We obviously know about that. We've had countless conversations over the last few years about this. As somebody who grew up here as a fan of the team, I am well aware of the importance. I hear from friends and family all the time. I wish they'd go back to the name, but, you know, Josh Harris has been pretty clear about this. They're not going to do that. You know, it was corporate sponsors that really kind of pushed this over the top 4 or 5 years ago when they changed the name. I don't see that that's going to be anything different if they were to do it. So I think it's a no-brainer, but like I said, you never know with the president.
Ben Standing with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. Will Terry be in Ashburn tomorrow?
Well, boy, it's almost easier to answer the last question. I don't know. I don't have knowledge of Terry's travel plans, if he's intending to hold in, thus avoiding fines that can't be rescinded, but at the same time not practicing, you know, then him arriving tomorrow would make a lot of sense. And oddly, if that does happen, I think that's a relatively good sign for this thing ultimately getting done at some point, because it suggests that they think it's a deal will get done. And that's been my stance this whole time. Obviously, Terry was pretty forceful with his comments the other day about feeling, some level of disrespect by this thing taking as long as it is, by, you know, whatever the initial salvo from the team was in terms of the discussion was not up to his standard and his agents. So there's something going on here. But like I said, we see these contract debates happen all the time. Eventually they get solved, unless it's just absolutely, ties have been broken between two sides. I just don't see that here yet. I do think there's, there could be a point where it gets too long and it hurts the team, but I don't think we're there yet. So I don't know if he gets the deal done by tomorrow or this week, or if he shows up, but I'm maintaining I'm not going to panic for now until there's really reason to.
So that meter, that panic meter, hasn't moved at all for you?
It hasn't. I mean, we haven't heard from the team. Look, if Adam Peters and Dan Quinn come out tomorrow and say, hey, we've talked to Terry, we've made the offer, it's up to them to decide what to do, well, okay, then maybe we have see. But, I've talked about this before with Kevin. I think what's interesting about this, if you can separate the Terry aspect to a degree, is that we get a chance to see how Adam Peters and this front office and this organization is going to handle these situations. You know, if they keep having success, these conversations will continue in the future. An eventual contract extension for Jaden Daniels seems like it would be fairly cut and dry, based on how things look today. But, there will be other players down the line who say, hey, it's my turn to get paid. And how does that play out? So I think it's interesting from that perspective. And that's why I think tomorrow's press conference, which usually is not going to get a lot of sound bites out of Peters and Quinn, I think is a little more interesting, because Peters is going to have to say something. What that something is, potentially we'll say a lot about the process. And look, by the time we talk tomorrow, he might be saying, we're thrilled that we agreed to a 3-year, $90 million contract with Terry McLaurin, and we're excited to be here. So, these things can move quickly, but, my panic meter has not moved yet. I will just say that, I talked to Adam Schefter the other day. I'm going to put up my podcast today, and, obviously, he's gone through, he's seen many of these things, and he was, you can listen to him talk about it, but I don't think he was particularly worried either at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's been a whole lot of worry. I haven't seen anyone reputable suggest that there should be cause of concern of this not getting done. It just feels like it, at least for most of the national guys, and I encourage everybody to listen to your conversation with Adam Schefter on your podcast, Last Man Standing, but it feels like it's just more of a, it just needs to get done kind of a deal.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not dismissing Terry's feelings for him to come out and be as forceful as he was the other day about it and talk as long as he did. It says something. He had something on his mind. A lot of players would just let their agents do their thing and stay out of it, but he felt compelled to speak up, and I think we can all understand why, considering what he has meant to this organization. I think what's so interesting is, in Adam we trust is something I think a lot of Commanders fans have been saying now for a while, and, after the last year, good justification. Putting Jaden Daniels aside, I think the only time that in Adam we trust could face conflict is a contract dispute with Terry McLaurin, right? I mean, like, that's the one guy, because he's been here. He's been, essentially the face of this thing for a few years, or, the one shining light who's done seemingly all the right things, and now this is the guy you're potentially, holding up to get a deal done. That is the one thing I do wonder about, that things could go sideways. Almost any other player on this team, again, not Kenny Daniels, I don't think too many people are siding with the player, even if the player is justified in asking for what they're asking. This guy is another story So I think that's why this is going to be interesting to see what happens the next couple of days.
So as you mentioned, you are a fiend when it comes to the 53-man projections. So if we put the Terry thing aside, if we put the stadium name situation aside, what's the biggest story that you have your eye on as we approach the opening day of training camp?
Yeah, well, look, obviously Von Miller is, he's here. He's going to, he'll be in camp tomorrow. I think he may be, in fact, in the building today signing a contract. You might get some news in the next little bit here about that. But not so much that he's going to come in and transform the line, but now it's just another piece. How are they going to play all these guys? You know, we've talked, we all said they've got to get more help on the edge. Cool, but how does that work with some of the other pieces, the rotation? You know, we talked a lot about, is Javon Kinlaw going to be playing some on the edge? Especially in obvious run situations. Okay, maybe, but then if that's happening, then what does that mean for the defensive ends? Even if Kinlaw in general, if he's playing a lot, what does that mean for Johnny Newton? Or does Johnny Newton come out and look all kinds of dynamic, because last year he was dealing with the foot surgeries and missed pretty much the whole offseason. Is he flying around now in ways we didn't maybe see as much last year? He was solid, but not spectacular too often. I think all the things on the line, I think, are so fascinating, because as we know, the biggest Achilles heel for this team last year, certainly against the Eagles, was stopping the run. That's not solely on the line, but it starts there. So solving that goes a long way towards helping this team. So I think that's one. But look, how does Deebo Samuel look? Laremy Tunsil, is he all starting in practice? we can go, Trey Amos, does he continue? Seem like some good positive momentum over during minicamp and OTAs. Is that, does he lock up a starting spot, or is there some questions there? Josh Connerly, of course, on the line as well. So lots of things to keep an eye on, but I think the defensive line is going to be a really interesting one.
Is the expectation, you mentioned Laremy Tunsil, is the expectation going to be that he is all systems go once training camp starts? I know he had the brakes on a little bit during minicamp.
I mean, I would think so. Now, as we know, using players in training camp, it's not like the old days. You're not grinding out two-a-days and all that. A guy like Tunsil, who's been there, done that, guy over 30, you do want to be judicious with how often you're using him. But, you got to get used to it. He basically wasn't out there for too much of anything during the off-season program. So he's got to get out there just to be comfortable. And look, if it's, if it's Brandon Coleman at left guard, you got to help this kid get comfortable to a position he's not played before in the pros. And if it's Nick Allegretti, you just got to, build that chemistry up with a new teammate, not to mention, just Jaden Daniels and everything else. So I would imagine he'll be out there plenty. If he misses time, it's hopefully just because it's like a vet rest thing, the way they would probably do with some other guys versus any real problem. So I don't anticipate any problems, but we'll see how they use him.
What is a fair expectation for Brian Robinson as we sit here on July 21st?
In terms of like the regular season or just...
The regular season, but kind of just throughout this camp process as well. My thought is that he is definitively running back number one and he will be that, but is there any potential chance that somebody else takes that from him?
Yeah, I think the only potential chance, and this is a very odd one, is Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, the 7th-round pick, the last running back pick in the draft. That is, everything I just said does not scream of somebody you should be talking about as RB1, and I'm not truly saying that. But he does bring the sort of one-cut explosive element to the backfield that they otherwise do not have. And Brian Robinson was very effective in short yardage and goal line and all that kind of stuff. But, doesn't give you explosive plays, not much of a factor in the passing game, not the best blocker out there. You're not going to use Austin Ekeler more than what you did last year, especially coming off the concussions. Jeremy McNichols was perfectly fine in his role as fill-in stopgap type, but you're not going to expand him. So the only person that I could see getting there would be Kroski-Merritt. I guess you could tell me there's a world where it's Chris Rodriguez, but we've already seen him now a couple of years, so I can't go there right now. But that would be my only thought, is if the kid looks good off the jump and they just think, hey, he's ready to go, we could, as a running back, that happens sometimes in the NFL, those guys come in and it can go. But other than that, I think Robinson would be the clear RB1. And now I think it's just a matter of, you know, can they find more ways to integrate him? Can he show that he's developed in some of these other areas where he was deficient previously and do more for this team? That's going to be a question that needs to be resolved.
Ben Standig is with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the team 980. Does adding Von Miller allow them to be a little bit more flexible with how they use Frankie Luvu this year?
I don't know. I don't know that it changes much. I mean, like, you know, I mean, I think however they want to use Frankie Luvu, they're going to just do that. You know, he's... you know, I don't know if he's necessarily a chess piece, but I think he's got to be, you know, sort of first and foremost with, okay, what do we want to do with Frankie here? And then let's move people around him. But obviously, if you can get Von Miller, who was, you know, one of the more efficient pass rushers in the league last year in terms of sacks per pass rush attempt, you know, if that guy is still going, then that's somebody the defenses are going to have to pay attention to. And, you know, if you have Luvu, whether it's on the other end or alongside, you know, that's going to cause defenses to have to think twice. And, you know, Dorrance Armstrong, he didn't have sort of a, you know, dynamic regular season, but he had 3.5 sacks in the playoffs. And if that version, you know, can stick around, you know, now you've got three guys teams would have to consider, and that's not even factoring in are we getting 2022 Deron Payne, et cetera. So I think they don't have a totally stud, dominant defensive line or front seven player, but they've got guys who are good, can make plays, and, you know, they need more of that, obviously. So I don't know that it changes Luvu's role, but I think it gives them potential to have just more dynamic pieces, you know, on the line going after the quarterback.
Ben, I will get you out of here on this. It feels like every year that there is one big name that gets or maybe a couple of big names that get cut in training camp. I don't know that Washington has had one of those names in quite some time. Do you think that there is anyone who could be a training camp casualty that would shock fans?
Well, I mean, you know, last year, Jahan Dotson got traded, which, you know, I don't think we all saw, say, at this point of the offseason. You know, Brian Robinson's been the name that I've mentioned before, but I think he probably, you know, showed up and did some good stuff in the OTAs to probably put that thought on the back burner. Other than that, I don't know. I mean, I jokingly mentioned the Sheldon Day and Jalen Holmes. Like I don't think anybody's going to go crazy if they don't make the team, even though both were, you know, effective roster guys last year. You know, Michael Gallup, I don't think he's a lock to make the team, but again, you know, low cost free agent. He's a name people heard of, but not that big of a deal. So I don't know if there's anybody that would be a huge shock, but you know, this is what happens. We get in here, we start to see a few things, and you get a sense from what we can see and what Dan Quinn will say as to maybe there is something to consider. Like the Dotson thing was something I was looking at a few days before the trade happened because of the way it was being discussed, that it seemed like something was going to give. But no, at the moment, which is kind of a bummer because you'd like to have something to sort of wonder about, but everything seems, you know, I feel like I could almost do my 53 right now. And other than maybe guessing like a couple of the backups on the line, I feel like I probably have a pretty good handle right now.
Ben, enjoy tomorrow. I'm sure that press conference is going to be very, very newsworthy.
Yeah. I don't know what they'll say, but with some of these topics, even if they don't say much, they will say a lot.
That is Ben Standig of the Last Man Standing podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Ben Standig. We mentioned that press conference. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn are going to be live from Ashburn tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. You'll hear that right here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Kevin will be back tomorrow, so he will get you set up for that press availability. I am optimistic that a Terry McLaurin deal could get done between now and then. I will explain that optimism and why it is related to that of Trey Hendrickson. We do that on the other side. It's Denton Day sitting in for Kevin Sheehan on the Kevin Sheehan Show right here on the Team 980.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. Veterans report to training camp tomorrow. Rookies reported on Friday. A few hours before they reported, 12 hours, 18 hours, something along those lines, but we'll still call that a few. Trey Amos was signed to his deal. There's a whole like slew of second rounders across the league that had been waiting to sign, but Trey Amos got signed on Thursday. Rookies reported on Friday. Could we be seeing something similar with Terry McLaurin today? I have been optimistic throughout this process that Terry is going to be readily available for training camp. He will be signed. He will be happy. And in turn, we will all be happy. I find it interesting that if you look just a little bit southern of us, southern, and I think Cincinnati is to our east, or to our west, rather. Bengals general manager Duke Tobin says that Cincinnati is working to get a deal done with Trey Hendrickson. He said, quote, he has earned a raise and extension. We'll see if we can come together on something. And then the ownership group for Cincinnati said that they believe that a deal is going to get done. This is the point in the season, or offseason rather, where conversations that maybe were not being had are starting to be had. And one of the big talking points and the big headlines from Terry's self-made press conference at Eastern Motors last week was that the two sides, his representation and that of the Commanders, had not spoken in over a month. I can read how on paper that would not be great. I personally look at that month, that particular month period, and know that that is a time where generally you maybe you're not having conversations. You got guys on vacation. You have guys just focusing on other things, knowing that there is still plenty of time in the offseason to work on those conversations, particularly in the training camp window. And just generally, the guys go on vacation. Adam Peters goes on vacation. You can table conversations and know that they're going to come back around when the time is right. And I can't think of a better time than a day before Veterans Report to really start cranking out on a deal. We saw TJ Watt get paid last week by the Pittsburgh Steelers. If Cincinnati is starting to have conversations surrounding Trey Hendrickson, it would be silly if Washington is not having conversations right now. It would be heartbreaking if tomorrow Adam Peters gets in front of the microphone and says, we still have not talked to Terry McLaurin. Then you'd be sitting there, and my panic meter right now is at about a four. It's about a four, hasn't moved a ton over recent weeks, even with the press conference last week. It's at about a four. That panic meter would move a little bit if Adam Peters says, tomorrow, we have not had conversations, or we are far apart on numbers, or we are giving Terry permission to seek a trade if he does not like our offer. He has not said any of these things. I want to make that very clear. He has not said any of these things. I am not anticipating that Adam Peters is going to say any of those things. But that puts this whole entire drama, if you will, that puts this whole entire drama in a little bit of a different perspective if the side of the Commanders gets in front of a microphone and they are also having issues with this. My belief is that Terry's going to get signed. I have said this, that I think 3 years, $96 million, that's 32 a year. You can front load that contract so it's a little bit more team friendly by the end of that contract. And at that point, Terry would be going into year number 30, age year number 33. He turns 30 in a few months and some change. He's not 30 years old yet. He's 29. He turns 30 in September. At the end of that contract, it would be his age 33 season. Then you can have this conversation of, well, an age 33 wide receiver is a little bit different than a 30-year-old wide receiver. You know, Terry's in such a unique position because no matter what analytic that you bring up from guys that are making the jump from 29 to 30, it's not similar to what Terry is because of the quarterbacks that he has played with before last year and the quarterback he played with last year. Jaden Daniels is leaps and bounds and then more leaps and more bounds and then more leaps and more bounds better than every other quarterback that Terry played with leading up to 2024. And we saw when he had a good quarterback, a great quarterback, a borderline, can I say the elite word? But Jaden's knocking on that door. And when you saw him working with that kind of quarterback, you saw a significant rise in production, particularly in the touchdown market. The yardage was a little bit of the same. I would have liked to see Terry's yardage be up a little bit more. I think if he would have had 1,200 yards or 1,300 yards, this contract extension is probably done earlier than it is, at least as of right now. So I would have liked to see a little bit more production in terms of the yardage, but you saw he was a major focal point of the offense, and he lived up to being a major focal point of the offense. He also made Jaden Daniels' life a lot easier. He was one of the guys that very quickly Jaden realized he can rely on him. And I think a lot of that was because of the game against Cincinnati. That particular throw, the throw, we all know it, that particular throw that won them that game, or at least put it out of reach for Cincinnati, felt like a season-defining throw. You understood, or you had a feeling at least, once that throw was made, this is not like any of the other seasons that we have seen before, and this quarterback is not like any of the other quarterbacks we have seen before. So that camaraderie is something that I want to see flourish. And just generally speaking, as to why I think this deal is going to get done, you can't watch what happened last year with Jaden and Terry, make all of the moves that you have this offseason in terms of bolstering up the offensive line with Laremy Tunsil and adding a little bit of flexibility to what Brandon Coleman can do, likely going to be at guard, but then you add a little bit of flexibility to where you can put him, left guard, right guard, swing tackle if necessary, if something goes sideways, then you draft Josh Connerly as well. So you really put a focal point on building up the offensive line. You go out and you trade for a guy like Deebo Samuel and then guarantee his contract for this year because you realize that he is a playmaker that you did not have last year. You don't go out and make all of these moves to bolster up the offense and then let the guy who was wide receiver one last year walk for nothing. That's just not going to happen. And you're too late in this process of the offseason to really maximize Terry's value that would then be good for 2025. There's not a lot of player-for-player trades that are available now. As fun as it was to have these conversations about Terry and TJ Watt, that was never going to be in the cards. We obviously never had these conversations about Terry and Trey Hendrickson because Terry is, we realize, he is a little bit of a better player to this team now than Trey Hendrickson would be, knowing that Trey Hendrickson is a great pass rusher but is a little bit lacking on the run defense side of things, which was Washington's big Achilles heel in 2024. So there's no player-for-player trade that is now available, I would say, for Terry McLaurin. You got to get this deal done. You got to figure out the numbers, sit in a room, and don't let the other side leave the room until the deal ends up getting done. I do believe it gets done. I just don't know if it's going to get done tonight. I would love it to get done tonight. I would love it to get done before they get on the practice field. And if it does not get done prior to them getting on the practice field, it would really make me happy if Terry holds in instead of holds out. I don't like the Dallas Cowboys very much. I will be incredibly upfront about that. If you are in the comments right now, you don't like the Dallas Cowboys other than our guy Brian, who runs the comments here on YouTube. What Micah Parsons is doing with Dallas deserves at least some sort of applause. He's going to get TJ Watt kind of money eventually, although we know that Jerry Jones is very slow when it comes to signing market-breaking extensions. He is going to get TJ Watt money. He is not holding out. He is holding in. I think it's a really good sign when players hold in because it expresses, hey, I still want to be here. I just want to get paid my money. I'm still going to be around the team. I will participate in events like meetings, like hanging out in the locker room, building the camaraderie. I'm just not going to get out on the field until you give me my money. But I will still be around and do all of the things necessary in terms of, did they not know you were a Cowboy fan, Brian? My bad. But I will do all of the things necessary to make sure that I am still walking with the team as they walk, just outside of not being on the field. I believe that that Terry deal is absolutely going to get done. It's just a question of when is that going to get done, not if it is going to get done. And it would be perfect. I mean, if I can just play a little bit of fantasy booker here, right? I'm a pro wrestling guy, so I'm going to get in my pro wrestling fantasy booking bag. It would be sensational if Adam Peters gets to the microphone and sits down and breaks the news. Hey, we just signed Terry McLaurin. And then you look at the Commander's social media page and then bang, there's a picture of Terry McLaurin in those Super Bowl alternate jerseys that they are going to be wearing in 2025. The jerseys that we have not seen 17 in because he was not there for media day and picture day. We haven't seen the videos of him by the Metro that we have seen all of those, although that was a backdrop. They were not actually at a Metro station in DC. Sorry to blow their cover there, but we have not seen Terry McLaurin in any of those marketing schemes because or marketing plans because he was not there. So it would be perfect if Adam Peters gets up there and says, we signed Terry McLaurin. Here is the extension numbers. And then, boom, you look on social media and here is Terry. Here is 17 in those uniforms. I think there would be a massive sigh of relief from a lot of the fan base. There would be a massive sigh of relief from some of his teammates, the coaching staff, and then Adam Peters' job would get a lot easier because that's going to be the biggest question that he's going to be asked tomorrow. So if you get that deal done before tomorrow, there's other questions that you will ask. I'm sure they will get asked about the Trump stuff, the team name, the stadium thing, as if Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have any control over either of those two things, which they very much do not. They will get asked about those things, but if you can get the Terry deal done, you're not really going to get peppered with questions as to why it has not gotten done. So that would just be my perfect way of drawing things up. Whether that happens or not, I'm not sure. I can tell you what my least favorite thing would be. My least favorite thing would be if that Terry McLaurin extension breaks at 1:01 p.m. Eastern time. I would hate that. That has happened many a times with lesser stories, but many a times here on the Kevin Sheehan Show, where as soon as we go off air, the news that we are hoping to see or some sort of news ends up breaking. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. 301-230-0980. Do you believe that that Terry McLaurin contract is going to get done before training camp begins? We will take some of your calls on that if you decide to give them, plus an update from Mayor Muriel Bowser on the potential of the RFK site being blown, the plan of bringing Washington back to the RFK site being blown up based off of some comments that the president of this country made. I will read those to you when we get back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show, Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles, the hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility? Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin Sheehan. Sheehan is back tomorrow. You will hear the live press conference from Ashburn. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn scheduled to speak for the first time ahead of training camp at 10:30 a.m. You'll hear that in its entirety right here on the Team 980. The big topic of conversation today has been everybody's favorite topic, the team name. Donald Trump took to his own social media, Truth Social Media, yesterday, and said he urged that the Washington whatevers, he doesn't know what Commanders are, I guess, he urged that the Washington whatevers should go back to the Redskins. And then in a second post, he said that he would go so far as to potentially block a stadium deal for Washington heading back to RFK if they do not change their name back to the Redskins. We had Eric Flack on the program 2 hours ago. If you missed that conversation, you can hear it on the podcast, wherever it is that you get your podcast. You can also rewind on YouTube. We're on YouTube each and every day on The Kevin Sheehan Show. Subscribe to the Team 980's YouTube if you have not already. But Eric Flack said that there is reason for that to happen. But we also caught Eric Flack before he went into a Muriel Bowser press conference. This was not because of what Donald Trump said. There was already an event that was scheduled to take place, and Muriel Bowser was going to be speaking at that event. One of the questions I asked Eric, because Muriel Bowser for such a long time was a adamant supporter of changing the name, I had always felt that was more of I don't like Dan Snyder more than I don't like the name. And because I don't like Dan Snyder and I know that Dan Snyder really likes the name, what is the one thing that I can do to kind of get a dig at Dan Snyder? And it was that. Muriel Bowser was asked about this whole situation today at that press conference. And while she sidestepped questions about the level of concern over Donald Trump threatening to kill the RFK Stadium deal if they did not go back to the old name, she was asked if she would withdraw support for the DC Stadium if the name Redskins returned, and she said no. She said she would not withdraw support. If you are in favor of the name coming back, and we have fielded a bunch of calls on that particular topic, I think that most of them have been very respectful, even if there were disagreeing takes, oppositions, if you will. Most of them ended up being very respectful. That's a kudos to you guys, the callers. Lord knows they can get rancid sometimes on this platform. This is a very positive thing if you want the team name to come back. Now, there's still a multitude of hoops to jump through. I have been very adamant. I do not like the Commander's name. I would be open to the old name coming back. I am still a little hesitant on thinking that it will come back, but I would be open to the old name coming back. Muriel Bowser, who was a massive detractor of the old name, saying that she would also be open to it coming back, or at the very least, would not withdraw support of the new stadium coming to DC if the old name comes back, does lend itself to the potential of that door opening just a little bit more. At the beginning of the show, I said this was the main reason why the comments made by the Commander-in-Chief really rubbed me the wrong way, is that I've been under the belief that the Josh Harris-led group, the new ownership group, is slowly putting it in place to eventually bring the team back to D.C. and then decide whether at that time, which this would be 2030, decide to do a massive rollout where the first year that the team is back in D.C., it is not the Commanders returning to D.C., it would be the potential of the Redskins returning to D.C., and I was upset for many reasons at the Commander-in-Chief, but the biggest one is that him getting a little reckless on social media, for whatever the reason is, could potentially undercut that plan and send a torpedo into that plan and blow up what the Harris group was trying to do. We have learned from this new ownership group in a very small sample size that they are not afraid to take their time with things. And they understand that politically, it is a very touchy subject in bringing that name back. We need as a society to maybe unwind a little bit, to loosen up a little bit. Everybody is so twisted and tight and they're looking to get angry at each other and all these things. So Josh Harris had taken, at least from my vantage point, had taken this approach of we're going to move things very, very slowly and ease our way back into potentially making this the team that a majority of the people in that ownership grew up watching. And I can't imagine anyone younger is in that ownership group. Maybe there's some young billionaires in there. I don't know. But everyone in that ownership grew up watching these Super Bowl teams and going to RFK to bring back that level of nostalgia for the new generation. I kind of feel a little bit better than when I started the show that this might be a real possibility of that name coming back. But again, you have to jump through a lot of hoops, and the biggest hoop that you are going to have to jump through is that of the NFL. Is it going to pose a massive financial risk to the NFL if that name comes back? And this is going to be like a real financial risk. This is going to be some deep diving into numbers done by the NFL analytic department and getting with sponsors and getting with television right companies, your ESPNs, your Amazons, your CBSs, your Fox, NBCs, and seeing, hey, what do you think about this? Because it was Nike was kind of the lead in getting the old team name out of here. And that was thanks in part to a multitude of different reasons. 2020 was a very difficult year in a lot of different reasons. So that was one of the reasons, one of the many that the old team name changed. It was also people undercutting Dan Snyder because Dan Snyder operated like a mob boss, but he was not a mob boss. And I say he was not a mob boss because he thought he was a mob boss, but then made the one cataclysmic mistake that you could make if you were a mob boss, which is have a very big glaring weakness. His glaring weakness was how much he absolutely loved the team name. You exploit that weakness and you send Dan Snyder into a spiral. But it'll now be interesting to see what the NFL does about this, because the NFL very much wants the stadium to come back to RFK, to that RFK site. They want the team that is based in Washington to actually play their games in Washington, not what we do now, which is they work out in Ashburn and then they skip over Washington, D.C. to go play their games in Maryland. They want the team in Washington, especially if the NFL draft is going to come to Washington 2027. If they already have that process going to get the stadium back, that would be a massive, massive win for the NFL. So this is very positive from Muriel Bowser in saying that she would not completely take her support back of the stadium coming to DC if they do end up coming back to the Redskins. But you just have to understand, it's not like they're coming back to the Redskins tomorrow. It would still be a process. There would still be a rollout to make sure that it is done in a correct way. And honestly, well, for starters, you can't do a worse rollout than 2222. It literally cannot be worse. It can't. It's impossible. You cannot do a worse rollout than that. But I have a feeling that this group would make sure that the rollout is done much better, in a fashion that is much cleaner, in a way that really represents the heritage of this team. And there would be a ton of former players that would be involved in this entire process. Hell, if they come back to the Skins, it might be the first time in a very, very long time that a guy that most of us really, really enjoy, Chris Cooley, would come back. I don't know that that's for certain. Obviously, the guy that will be in this chair tomorrow, whose name is attached to the show, would have a much better knowledge on whether or not Cooley would be interested in returning if the Redskins' name comes back. But he has long said, if you listen to Cooley's appearances on this show and on Kevin's podcast, he doesn't feel like he is associated with this organization anymore because it is not the organization that he played for. All right, you can tweet me any of your thoughts on that particular topic at The Denton Day. Final thing here. ESPN ranked the 2025 rosters heading in, or the rosters, I should say, heading into 2025. They have been doing this this offseason list that they do every single year, where they are ranking positions, right? They rank your quarterbacks, your receivers, your running backs, and so on and so forth. In a majority of these lists, there were not a lot of representation from guys that wear the burgundy and gold. You had Jaden show up very, very high on a quarterback list. Frankie Louvu showed up on a linebacker list. Bobby Wagner was an honorable mention. Terry was an honorable mention on wide receivers. And you had a few other Commanders show up. Laremy Tunsil showed up on the offensive line. You had a few other Commanders be represented. ESPN, though, ranks Washington's roster at 7. That is significantly higher than what I thought they would be ranked. I didn't know that they were going to be ranked inside of the top 10, but ESPN ranked Washington and the Commanders roster at 7. The biggest strength, as written here by Mike Clay, off-ball linebacker. It was tempting to pick Jaden Daniels and the quarterbacks, although that is actually the biggest strength. It is Jaden Daniels. He writes, but the terrific Bobby Wagner-Frankie Louvu duo is too good to pass up. Wagner is entering his age 35 season, but he has shown almost no signs of drop-off, ranking in the top 10 in off-ball linebacker in pass rush wins, tackles for loss, and QB hits last season. And why wasn't he in the actual top 10 of off-ball linebackers? Whatever. Luvu is the only NFL player with 250-plus tackles and 20-plus sacks over the past three seasons. He has 335 tackles and 21 sacks. The duo combined to play in 98.2 of Washington's defensive snaps last season, 98.2%, that is. So that's the biggest strength, according to ESPN, when it comes to this roster. The biggest weakness is safety. I would have thought they went defensive line here, but they say safety. This was a toss-up between edge rusher, but Luvu's pass rush contributions pushed the edge rushing group past safety. The X factor for 2025 is, according to ESPN, Marshawn Lattimore. This is Seth Walder who wrote on that. He says it's Marshawn Lattimore. I think if Marshawn Lattimore gets back to the Marshawn Lattimore that they traded for, I think then you're cooking with gas here on that defensive secondary. I really love what Mikey did. I obviously really am optimistic about what Trey Amos could do if Marshawn Lattimore is back to like a turnover creating machine, and that cornerback that they were hoping they would get when they traded for him, it could be very, very fun. That's going to do it for me. Kevin is back tomorrow. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn are talking at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow. That presser will be heard right here on 106.7 The Fan. Chris Russell takes over on the microphone next. Appreciate everybody who called in today. We had a slew of great guests. You can tweet me at The Denton Day. Chris Russell is next on the Team 980.